Well, let's pray just for a second. Gracious Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your love for us, and thank you for your grace that brings us in close. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you watch that video and you resonated with that, you'll realize and you'll be reminded again how weird church is. And I think about that. When I say that, people are offended. But church is just weird. And most of us don't even know it's weird. We're so used to it. It's just, we just accept the weirdness as if it were normal, right? I mean, and think about how the first time I grew up Southern Baptist, and which is, you know, honestly, let's face it, pretty much like this, except, you know, everybody brought their Bibles. Other than that, it's almost exactly the same, right? I mean, just everybody brought a Bible, but it worked the same. We did the same stuff. We got in. Some person stood up and said, hey, good morning, and then they read some scripture, and then we sang some songs. There were different songs than we sing here, but they were just songs, right? And then somebody said, hey, why don't we stand up and greet one another? And we did it, right? And then there was more songs, and then there was a sermon, and then they took up an offering, and everything went just according to plan, and everybody was just on board with that plan. We knew, and we didn't even have to have people tell us when to stand up in the service, right? Because we knew when to stand up, because we stand up at the same place every time, right? We just knew. You knew when to stand up, and you knew when to sit down. Now, I didn't think church was weird. And some of you are going to be really offended by this. Please understand it. It's just all church is weird. But I didn't know how weird church was until I went to a Catholic church. I'd never been to a Catholic church before, ever. So I didn't know what was going on. And there were smells and bells, and everybody there stood up at a different time, right? They stood up at weird times. It didn't make sense when they were standing up. I didn't know when I was supposed to sit down or stand up. And there were these beautiful footrests there on the bottom. And I just thought, man, this is awesome. I'm going to just kick back and just relax. And, man, I got dirty looks. Apparently, you were not supposed to put your feet on those footstools. I didn't even know what they were for, but people got mad, right? And then they came in, and I grew up Southern Baptist. We trust one another. And so we were actually able to hold the plate as it went by, right? But they didn't. It was a guy with a basket on a big stick just in case I might steal something. I began to think about how weird church is. And I realized that experience that I had at the Catholic Church would be the exact same experience that most people have when they come in this church. And so just in case you didn't know I was already a dork, I belong, and I'm not making this up, everything I'm about to tell you is 100% grade A true. Amen, brother. Right? I belong to a club that watches Laurel and Hardy movies. We meet about once a month, and it's just a club. But this is 100% true. We walk in, and they take your name, and you put on a name tag, and then you go and you have hot dogs every time. It's got to be hot dogs, only a certain kind of hot dogs. And then I'm not making this up. And then we all get in our seats, and several people line up, and they make toasts to all the people who are dead in the movie. I'm not joking. They make toasts, and we all toast, you know, Laurel and Hardy and all these people. We just toast them all because they're all dead. And then, I'm not making this up, we hold hands like this across the aisle, and we sing the Sons of the Desert song. And there's choreographed swaying in the song. I'm not joking. We go like this. We do it every time. Every time. And then we watch a couple of movies after some guy tells us about what's in the movies, and everybody there has already seen all the movies. And then they stop and they have cake every time. Sometimes it's birthday cake for Laurel or Hardy, but it's cake every time. And then we wrap up, and then we all leave with a warm handshake and the fellowship of Laurel and Hardy. Now, the first time I went in there, I mean, I'm telling you this, and you're thinking, man, what a bunch of freaks. And the truth is, I walked in, I'm like, it's kind of like church. Because we did the same thing. I'm holding hands, singing, toasting, you know, it's all the same. I felt really at home. See, I want you to realize that church is just weird. And we don't know it's weird. We think this is completely normal. Just like those Laurel and Hardy Sons of the Desert, we think that's completely normal. When everyone else laughs at us. because it's become normal to us. And I, this morning, I want to talk about how we welcome people into our this home, welcome them into their home, really. And this is going to be a different kind of sermon for me, but I really want us, as we begin to talk about faith that works, I want us to begin by understanding, what does it mean to encourage? What does it mean to welcome? What does it mean to not be weird? And so I want us to look at this passage in Acts, because this is a very powerful passage, and it's about welcoming. It's about real understanding how weird everything is and welcoming people in anyway. Right? There's this guy named Saul of Tarsus, and he becomes the Apostle Paul, right? Most of us grew up in Sunday school, and we know that story. So we have this guy who's been doing everything he can to malign and destroy the early Christians. And so he begins to go around, and on his way, he has this trip, and he has this vision of Jesus. And Jesus comes to him, the resurrected, risen Lord, comes to him and says, Saul, Saul, you got to stop kicking against the goads. You got to stop working so hard against me. And he realizes that Jesus is the Messiah, and he gives his life to him right there, sort of. I mean, it takes a little couple days, but he realizes he comes to faith. And after he comes to faith, it's during this time that things begin to happen, that God uses people to provide hospitality that changes his life. And so, if you're following along as Greg read that passage, there are a couple of disciples that are being used, and one of them is Ananias. And Ananias has this vision, and he says, hey, Ananias, what's going to happen is there's a guy waiting on you. His name is Saul. Maybe you heard of him. He's the guy that has been arresting Christians. He was the guy who held the coats while they stoned Stephen to death. Yeah, that's all. I want you to go, and I want you to pray for him. Now, I want you to imagine, because we've heard this, most of us have heard this story. In fact, we've seen flannel boards. If you really grew up in church, you know, if you're really weird and you grew up in church like I did, you had flannel board Jesus, right? You had flannel board action figures, and it was awesome. It was the best time. It was right after they gave you cookies and that watered-down punch. It was great. And so you saw that this story really, it misses home for most of us. But imagine right now, imagine that the leader of ISIS was walking through, he was coming through California, and he got struck down by the risen Lord. And all of a sudden, you got a vision and said, I want you to go to the leader of ISIS, and I want you to welcome him into your community. In fact, I want you to pray for him, because I'm going to do special things through him. Most would go, no thanks, guy. That's all right. There's plenty of people that love to pray. I can think of several brothers and sisters in my congregation who are given the gift of hospitality. Lord, you need to send them. Right? This is, Ananias is afraid. He's afraid that this is a trick. He's afraid that Saul is a double agent. He's afraid that it might be like Jason Bourne or something. Right? And so he's afraid. And God calls him and says, no, you go and you pray for him. And so Ananias, because he'd given his heart to the Lord, he said, all right, Lord, I'll go where you send me. And he goes and he prays for him. And it says something like scales fell from his eyes. Which, of course, is a metaphor. I mean, it's both literal, right, and metaphorical, right? He could see. And finally, he could see the risen Lord for who he was. Then there's another brother named Barnabas. His name means son of encouragement. And Saul comes to Jerusalem after he's had this powerful experience. But many of the brothers there are afraid. And so Barnabas steps out in faith, grabs his hand, brings him into church. I mean, not like our church, but a church, something smaller, but like us. But he brings him in, and he begins to introduce him. And he says, this is God's chosen vessel to the Gentiles, to you and me, by the way. And without Barnabas, without Ananias, we have to wonder where we'd be. Right? You never heard of Ananias again, right, after that. This is the role that he plays. We're going to talk about this in a little bit, but I want you to understand how important hospitality is for the kingdom of God. In fact, the Bible talks over and over again about how Christians should be hospitable. And it's the Greek word that means the love of strangers. That's what hospitality is. It's the love of someone you don't know. And this morning, God has called us to be hospitable. Now, this morning, we're going to do some myth busting. Right? We're going to do some myth busting. And I want to, we got a couple myths that I want to make sure we get to, but I just want to talk to you about how we might do this in a regular, kind of non-threatening way. And so the first myth is, well, our church is a friendly church, right? I mean, wouldn't you all say that? Our church is a friendly church. Guess what? We're not. I don't mean to, like, come down and say, I'm not coming down on you. You know what I mean? I want us to understand that the problem is that most of us don't recognize, first of all, we don't recognize how weird church is, but we also don't recognize how unfriendly we might appear to people around us. Even if you don't mean to be unfriendly, oftentimes we come off as unfriendly. As a matter of fact, they do all this research now, Barna and other groups, and they talk about the fact that most people decide to not come back to your church in the first 10 minutes before the service starts. So they even wait around to see how good the music is or how good the preaching is or what cookies are going to be served after the service. Right? They decide before the service starts whether or not they're ever going to come back. What ends up happening is that they come in and they see these people that really like each other a lot. And we like to call them holy huddles, right? People that know each other a lot. And really, I mean, you're so glad to see each other. And I love that. I love that you love each other. But the problem is, have you ever tried to, I mean, and all of us have this fear. Remember when you were a kid and you could just walk up to another kid and say, hey, do you want to be friends or do you want to play together? I see that my kids do that all the time. They just do that. When was the last time you walked up to an adult and said, hey, do you want to be my friend? Seriously. I'm just saying it made me a little nervous. Kind of threw up a little bit. Right? When was the last time you did that? You were like, oh, do you want to be my friend? By the way, don't say that. Don't do it. But you get what I'm saying. We're afraid because it was really easy to make friends when you were a kid, and now that it's adult, it's almost impossible because everybody will look around and you're like, well, he's got all the friends he needs probably. I mean, he looks like a happy, fun guy. He's probably watching football, you know, whatever. See, there's deep insecurities inside of us, and we always stick to what we know. And so when people come into church, they have these holy huddles. Right, they see them, and it feels like from the very moment they come out that they're on the outside instead of on the inside. That's just immediately their experience. And I'm about to get emails, and so I mean angry emails are coming my way, and you can send them to andy@lcpc.net, and they will get ordered answered in the order of their arrival. Right? No, I'm going to. Do you know what happens? Okay, so I'm about to kill the sacrificial calf right now. I mean, the sacred cow is about to die. Here's the real secret. All the research. 4 out of 10 church members. That means 4 out of every 10 of you hates the standing greet time. Hates it. And you know how I know? Because you all told me, like multiple times. I'm not going to point or look in your general direction. I'm going to look right here, right? Because I don't want to offend anybody. But 4 out of 10 of you hate it. And 4 out of 10 of you are introverts, right? Because that's just how it works. All right, so maybe talk about that. Here's the real truth. 9 out of 10 newcomers hate it like poison, right? And you know why? Because 9 out of 10 feel like they're on the outside looking in. And it feels like often that the people that, even the people that greet them, because I know people that will walk across, you know, like hot coals to greet a new people. I know people like that. They will walk across glass to greet a new person. But oftentimes, they will come in, and they, remember I told you about that first 10 minutes? They said, nobody greeted me until the main guy told them to. And so I sat here for 5 minutes in the sanctuary. People passed me by. Nobody said hi until the main guy said, why don't you do that and be nice? Right? I'm not here, like I said, I'm struggling with these things myself, right? This is not about me coming down on you. This is about us thinking about what it means to love people in God's kingdom. So I want you to think about that. So here's the thing. The second myth is that this is really hard, right? That this is really hard. But what we're talking about is little things. It's about when you see someone, introduce yourself. Right? That's the adult equivalent of saying, will you be my friend? Right? That's the adult equivalent. Just introduce yourself. Now, often, this is myth 2.A, right? This is like myth sub, right? The myth is, you know what, Lee, I don't ever introduce myself anymore because I'm afraid that I've already met that person three times, or that they've been coming to church here for a decade, right? How many of you done? You don't raise your hands. That's all right. Some of you are like, you know what? I mean, last week I introduced myself, and I found out that they were the youth pastor. Right? I'm afraid. Here's the thing. Let it go. Everybody, we all, let's just say, you know, hey, my name is such and such, and I'm glad to see you. And if I saw you last week, then it's good to see you again. It's all right. Just let it go. People would rather have you, you know, maybe not know that they're a member than they would be you to say nothing. So this is not hard. Here's the thing. But introduce yourself. And especially if you see a person, if someone says, oh, this is my first time here. This is going to take real courage. I know, it's super courage. But say, would you like to sit with us or with me? Invite them to just sit with you. Hey, I got a nice pew. Come sit with me. Get to know them. Embrace them. Say, come sit with me. And that's good. And this is all really, I mean, this is all not that super hard, but it does take sacrifice. Because the truth is, most of us love each other. I mean, I love how much you love each other. One of the things that we have to do is we have to be like Barnabas, and we have to say, okay, I need to be looking for people who are in deep need of having community. Because that's why people come here in the first place, right? They come here because they feel like there's something missing in their life, and it might be here, and we want them to experience that. The next myth is, I'm an introvert, so I get a pass, right? And I'm married to an introvert, and I know, and here's the thing. Many of you are going, oh, Lee, this is really easy because you're an extrovert. I mean, you stand up in front of people and talk for a living. But I'm only, oh, man, I'm about to say something that I don't think it's going to get me fired, but it might. I do this here because you pay me. I got to confess to the Lord, when I'm out of this place, like, I use so much energy just meeting all of you and talking to you and caring about you that when I get out of this place, I don't do it. I mean, this is just one instance. On Friday, my wife and I went to my son's school and watched the play. And then while she was talking to all the other parents, I was reading a book. I'm not joking. I was reading a Western to show how dorky I am. Because I just was like, I just can't meet new people. I'm just tired. I just can't do it. But guess what? I could. And I should. And just because we're introverts doesn't mean we get a free pass. It may be harder for some of us than others. Just like preaching is harder for some of us. Or sharing the gospel or giving. Each of us has our own unique gifts. But it doesn't get us off the hook because it's not our particular gift. Because remember, we're talking about easy steps. Introduce yourself. Invite them to sit with you. Show them where the bathroom is. What all of those things. Myth number four. We may come off as needy. And here's the thing. This is like half myth. Because there really is a potential. I've traveled, and sometimes you'll go to a church. And sometimes you go to a church where the average age is about 83. Right? And there's no one under the age of like 70 in the church. And if you ever brought your kids to a church like that, and they're like, they're on you like chickens on a June bug, right? Desperate. Please come back. Please come back. You increase our children's program by 2,000%. Right? Okay, there's a little bit of that. All right? There's a little bit of danger. All right? But here's the thing. If we really genuinely care about them more than what they can do for us, right? I always in the back of my head, when I meet new people, I want to love them. And if they never come back to LCPC, that's okay. And here, if this is your first time with us, I really apologize. Because after this service, man, you better get out of here as soon as, but don't wait for the last song. You better leave today. I'm just kidding. Please don't do that. We really want. But man, people are going to be on you today. Because I just told them to. But here's the thing. Really, every time I meet a new person, I really try to do this in the back of my head. I try to say, you know what, I'm just going to care about them. And if they come back, that's great. But if they don't, sometimes we even say, you know, if this church doesn't work for you, let us know. We know of other churches. We just want you to find the place where you fit and where you can find the hope and peace of the gospel. If that's your honest, genuine, heartfelt, sincere desire, then they'll know it. And you don't need to worry about being too needy. See, many of you might be thinking that, well, Lee, you're doing this because you just want more people to come to church. And guess what? You're right. I do want more people to come to church. Right? Guilty. Right. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong. Right? God wants us to reach out into the community. And I want you to go back and think about this for a second. There are two people that are instrumental in Saul's life very early on, Ananias and Barnabas. And I really do believe this. If there were no Ananias and there were no Barnabas, there may not be an Apostle Paul. I'm going to say that again so it can sink in. Without Ananias and without Barnabas, there may not be an Apostle Paul. I know for sure that without several people that poured themselves into me when I first became a Christian, I would not be here. You see, we think changing the world is about preaching big sermons or leading huge mission trips. And those things are great. But what really changes the world is everyday faithfulness to God. That's what changes the world. That's what changed the world. It wasn't the great sermons of the Apostle Paul, although they were great. It wasn't St. Peter. It was the everyday Christians who were faithful to God. That's what changed the world. And we can go name after name. Each one of those people had one or two or maybe a couple people that brought them in and loved them and encouraged them and accepted them and welcomed them in. Imagine if a new person came in this morning and realized, wow, those people genuinely cared about me. Their eyes are cod. Man, they're weird. But that's okay because they genuinely cared about me and they genuinely cared about my family. And it made a difference in my life. This morning, God has given us this opportunity to change the world through small acts of loving people, of loving what the New Testament calls loving outsiders, loving strangers, loving people that are new. This morning, God calls us to this. He calls us to hospitality and to service. And let's answer that call. Let's surrender to him now. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the changed life of the Apostle Paul. And we thank you for the faithfulness of Ananias and Barnabas. And Father, I thank you for the men and the women who welcomed me home. And I'm here because of them. So, Father, in this moment, we give you our hearts and our lives. And we confess that often we are in our holy huddles and we don't think about those who are coming and hurting. And, Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us for that. And we pray that you'd help us open our hearts to those who are just in deep need of grace and hope and peace. Lord, let us expand our vision for those who are lonely and those who don't feel that they fit in. And Father, in this moment, we pray that you would take all that we have, these gifts that you give us, and we pray that you'd multiply.